peace. Everyone is looking for it, but the only place you'll find true and lasting peace is right here in God's Word. Join us as we go back to God's Word on this edition of Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon. Welcome to Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. And indeed, it is abounding grace that we seek and find here in God's Word. We would invite you to join us for the next few minutes as our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, brings us back to God's Word that we might find that peace, that encouragement for the day, that challenge to follow hard after Christ. For this edition of Abounding Grace now, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, in Matthew chapter 9, if you've been with us the past few days, you know we've been studying this great passage in Matthew chapter 9, where Jesus confronts a certain mentality of those who don't think they need salvation. And this is how Jesus approached it. He said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Now, Martin Luther, years ago said something that is absolutely correct when he said the whole of the Christian life is that we must learn to say, "I am a sinner, and the worst of all." And likewise, never stop saying it until Christ's return makes it no longer true. That is the characteristic and burden of the heart of the sinner. He sees his sin, he's weary of his sin, he desires to be freed from the consequences and burden that his sin has leveled upon him. And that's what we begin to see here with Matthew. Jesus is saying, these are the kinds of people I came for. Those who see their sickness, those who know they need the great physician. And we see this with Matthew. Luke's gospel says that Matthew left everything behind and rose and began to follow. You see, once he forsook his post at the tax office, and remember, being a tax collector was the worst of occupations. Once he left his post, there was no going back. A life started of beginning to follow the Christ. Whatever things were gained to him, these things he could have said, "I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ." I want you to notice, my friends, in the life of Matthew, of the path of repentance. This is genuine conversion. Remember Psalm 1. Psalm 1 begins this way. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." Now that really outlines two sort of paths. And the path that the natural man is walking is the path of death, from walking in sin to standing in sin to being seated in sin. This is the path of every unregenerate. They are always walking in a generation that lands them seated in their sin. In both cases here, I want you to notice that Christ reverses that path. Notice in verse 5, the paralytic, this is Matthew 9, is on his bed. Remember, this paralytic is brought to Jesus, being carried by his friends. He's on his bed, incapacitated, and from there, Christ says, "Arise and walk." Did you notice the reversal? From being seated to the sin, to standing, and now to walking in the newness of life. It's total reversal from Psalm 1. In verse 9, Matthew is seated at the tax office. Christ calls, he arises, and he follows. He follows a whole different course, a whole different path of life, complete reversal. And we have to say, when Christ calls a sinner, the burden that is in his heart, the life that Christ gives, does not make him rise and walk to Christ away from his sin soon enough. Matthew does the exact same thing as the paralytic. And the message was clear. Though physically fine, Matthew was just as paralyzed in his sin as the man on the mat. Notice this. And that really makes us ask the question today, radio friend, have you repented? What have you turned from in your life? Has the thing described here been true of you, where you have been seated in your sin and stuck, and the Lord has given you this release by his grace, where he calls you to repent and turn, and you've turned? This is how the account continues. "Now, it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples." This is Matthew's house, of course. And so what had happened is Christ came to Matthew's house like Zacchaeus, and Matthew threw a feast. What did Matthew do? Well, Matthew went and gathered all of his tax collector buddies and all the outcasts of society. And we could almost hear the call. Hey, guys, come meet this Jesus who forgave me of all my sins. Come meet this Jesus who will dine with us and save us from this. And the banquet hall was full of these bad sinners. My friends, look who was there. This is the rotten of society. These are the peoples who've done all the bad things, the Ted Bundys, the Marilyn Mansons, the Howard Sterns, who in Christian eyes are the really bad people. I can't express enough today, this is an inconceivable scene to Israel. This is unthinkable to the religious people. Would it be to us? You know who Jesus is dining with at the table? The Gabbai, the Mokies, and the sinners. Who are they? The robbers, the murderers, the drunkards, the prostitutes, all the thugs of society. And they're lifting the cup together, and Jesus is forgiving sin. In fact, you know what label it earned him from the visible church? Listen to Luke 7. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, look, a glutton and a wine bibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. And Jesus had come for them. Really, the scene is glorious, but now is the very sad reality, my friends. Verse 11, and when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? There they were, sitting in judgment over his word and judgment over his actions, and really do picture the parable of the prodigal son, where the bad sinner had come home and the righteous son stood outside and would not even come in to see and meet his wayward brother. What a terrible, terrible scene. The righteous son, remember, stood outside, and here all these sinners stand, shooting away and with a lip at Jesus, and yet the really broken sinners are dining with him. They are outside waiting for an explanation of how he can sit with these unclean sinners venting and gnashing his teeth at him. Look, from their perspective, there is nothing worse that Jesus could possibly be doing than this. But my friends, what I'm most moved with here is the fact of who this is standing outside the house. It's not the world, it's the church. It's not just that, it's the religious leaders. And the things I can't get over, how in the world could the religious people have missed the straightforward teaching throughout the Bible that there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin? But they just couldn't get it because they were totally convinced of their own righteousness, their own achievements, their own model lives, their external benefits, that they could see nothing inherently and inwardly wrong with their own hearts. In fact, they were furious at God's grace, grace to these wretched sinners. And Christ drops a few bombshells on them. Verse 12, when Jesus heard that, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. In those days, the patient didn't go to the doctor as we would do. The doctor would go and make house calls and come to them. So this must have just infuriated them. Jesus said to them something like this, you're so healthy, you don't need any help from the Lord. You don't need a physician. What kind of doctor would make house calls to the healthy? But I, as the great physician, have come to people like this. Because they know their sickness, they feel the burden of their sin, and they need my compassionate healing mercy. So in other words, you think your life is so together, and you're so righteous and upright and keeping God's law, and you're a moral person, you don't steal, you don't do all these things, you don't need me. I didn't come for people like you. I've come for people who understand their own heart, who see their need and are in struggle for their release from their bondage. What kind of doctor goes to healthy people? But is that not what is the problem today? Look, you cannot apply this passage in any other way. The fundamental problem today in the church is that we're full of righteous people. We're full of healthy people. Let me ask this. What would have satisfied the Pharisees? Let me tell you what would have satisfied the Pharisees. Tell me if this is common. You guys are doing real well. You guys over there, those guys over there outside of the church, just wait. But let me encourage you. I want to build up you and your fine life. You've made such good progress. You need to think positively of yourself. And you need to advance more in the law of God. Here's some things you could do better, but I got some new fresh ideas for you. Here's some tips for living. Let me help you along with your days to become a better you. But overall, let me say, good job, guys. Let me build up your self-esteem just a little more. Pharisees would have loved that. You know, 1922, and I have referenced this book many times on Abounding Grace, Christianity and Liberalism, written by J. Gretchen Machen. Machen said something absolutely powerful. The fundamental fault of the modern church is that she is busily engaged in an absolutely impossible task. She is busily engaged in calling the righteous to repentance. Modern preachers are trying to bring men into the church without requiring them to relinquish their pride. They are trying to help men avoid the conviction of sin. The preacher gets up into the pulpit, opens the Bible, addresses the congregation somewhat as follows: "You people are very good." Such is modern preaching. It is heard every Sunday in thousands of pulpits, but it's entirely futile. Even our Lord did not call the righteous to repentance. And probably we shall be no more successful than he. Wow. How true is that? How did Jesus call sinners? Well, that's the next bombshell. Imagine this. Imagine the jolt of when he says, "But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. You doctors of the law, go and learn what you should know. Go cite and go study Hosea 6:6. Go and learn what this means. O Ephraim, what shall I do to you? O Judah, what shall I do to you? For your faithfulness is like a morning cloud, and like the early dew it goes away. But they, like men, have transgressed the covenant, a city of evildoers defiled with blood, a band of robbers lying in wait for men." Jesus is exposing their sin, and they refused to see it. My friends, do you see your sin today? Have you seen it to such a degree that you've fallen and say, "Where is my hope in life and in death?" Jesus extends his arms to you and he says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The gospel is for you, struggling sinner. The gospel is for the weary, that your hearts might be bound up today in Christ's strength and righteousness.
Opening up the Word of God that we might let its light shine into our hearts and minds. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We know your time is valuable, and to carve out a few minutes for us means a great deal to us. We thank you for spending time with us. If you would like to contact us here at Abounding Grace, we'd love to hear from you. Your letters of encouragement, your questions, comments, prayer requests, that would mean so much to us to know that you're partnering with us in a prayerful manner such as this. Our desire is to see you grow in Christ, and that's what we've made ourselves available for. 360-318-0429 is our phone number. Again, 360-318-0429. You can also find us on the web, lindenurc.com. A lot of information there about who we are and what we believe. In fact, if you would like to join us for worship, we'll have a map there for you. We meet at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden, Washington. Sunday services, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. Again, the directions can be found at lindenurc.com or give us a call, 360-318-0429. As always, it's a real privilege and a pleasure spending time with you here in God's Word, and we look forward to the next opportunity that we'll have to spend time with you once again in God's Word. Until then, God bless.